Michael can only be with us for half an hour, so
right.
I
so
guess
let's get started.
Start. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get started. So I want to welcome everyone to the meeting, and the topic today is to tap or not to tap. That is the question. So, I had hoped that Maximo Gomendez could come to the meeting, and maybe he'll show up later on. As he certainly would be helpful here because he's the one that worked with me to develop the Keeper software, which we're trying to integrate with the OOR. And so it's a good example of the issue of how one extends the capabilities of the basic OOR structure to have additional features. I mean, that's certainly going to be an issue in the future. So that's the basic topic today, is basically how we are going to architect the OOR so that one can make, so it will be fairly easy to extend the functionality. So we actually have the slides. Are they up?
Coming up.
So, there's a small slide deck that Todd prepared for us. Also acknowledge that Todd was the one who came up with this really clever title.
You want to blame me, that's all, Ken.
That's not blaming you, I'm complimenting you. I think it's very good. So anyway, there's the, I believe we, does everyone have the title slide now?
The PNC does.
Okay, OOR to tab or not, some questions. So moving to slide two. So the current OOR site organization is set up with, of course, web pages, and these are generated by Ruby servlets. Then each page, or at least each major page, has associated web services, and the navigation among the pages is of two kinds. There are ordinary links that are local to each page, as usual in any HTML page. It's easy enough to add those, and you can even add web service calls. These are RESTful web services, I should say. But then in addition, there are tabs on the top of each page. And if you go to the next slide, slide three, you'll see what these tabs look like. So in slide three, you'll see the two, this is the main OR sandbox page. There are two kinds of links. There's the links along the top that say browse, search, mappings, recommender, projects. And then inside the page, you'll see underlined links that in many cases are to the same places as on the tabs. So, for example, there's a link that says as you browse them. And if you click on that, you'll get exactly the same as if you had clicked on the tab. So there's just sort of alternative ways of navigating, either using a tab approach or using the link, direct link. But they're exactly identical in terms of functionality. Same thing happens in both cases. So then going to slide four, the question then is, for us, what should we use within the OOR? Where, in particular, where should tabs be placed? Should they be page independent across the top on each page, which is basically what we do now? I haven't checked every page, but I believe that this is basically what happens. Or should it be page dependent? which means that there could be different tabs on different pages. So then the question becomes, if there are going to be, if it's going to be page dependent, should there be core tabs that occur on each page? And if there are core tabs, then which ones should they be? So there are a number of questions here in terms of, this is mostly UI, of course, because the architecture and functionality of OR is not affected by this. But it certainly would affect how people see the OR. And it also affects how one does extensions. Then on page slide five, then of course this is this issue: what tab should be placed. So should it be invariant, and that is to say, same for all users, or should it be role dependent, or even deployment dependent? So you see the two. Sort of two issues here. Should the tabs vary with page? Should they vary with the role that's being played by the individual who is looking at the page? So all of these things are possible, but of course it's going to be, we're going to be departing from the current setup for BioPortal if we start putting in this kind of variability. The last slide, slide six. Another issue is it's really important that we make this customization be convenient. So some of us, I guess, Mike Dean and I, and I think there's the two of us, right? I don't think, Michael, have you tried to do a tab yet?
Oh, no, we're not even close to getting that.
Okay.
Mainly because it's kind of, you know, there's still been this issue of how the front end's connected to the back end and how decoupled we want this to be.
Yes. Well, that's what I was hoping Maximo could help us with, because the Keeper is a web service. And so this would be a good experiment to determine to what extent one can extend the OR by adding a web service. So basically anytime you construct the web service, then you could just sort of plug it in to the OR, and the issue is just how convenient that is, how easy it is to accomplish. And also, you know, more specifically to the issues on the slide deck, how those affect the UI that's already there, which is to say, in this case, how it affects the tabs. So what I noticed looking on the web is that there are a number of places where people have developed kind of tabbing frameworks for Ruby on Rails. And the last slide, I have two links. And since then, I found yet a third example of a tabbing framework, a way of easily adding tabs to a Ruby on Rails application. So certainly, people have addressed this issue. It's a question that obviously has come up before, since there are three independent implementations of tabbing frameworks, at least. And then there's the third link, which is one that we have been using for for doing extensions of the software. It's done by Paul Alexander, but it's basically just telling you how you use the Ruby on Rails scaffold generator for generating new pages. Basically, what the scaffold does, it's just, you just execute this script, the scaffolding script. You give it a name of this new resource that you wish to support, and you also tell it the columns of a database table, giving the names of the columns and their types. And then it will proceed to generate the page itself, as well as update, creation, and deletion links and pages set up for the purpose of this new database table that you have. It's actually quite convenient to run this script up to the point where you actually create the tab. That part we kind of got stuck on, but the rest of it is pretty straightforward. And I have an example of it that I can show you right now. If you go to test 00, I use the test 00 OOR website. So it's test-00.or.net. You come to a test site.
Yeah, people can actually just do OOR.net, and then it will take you to the navigation page, and you can choose test 00.
Right, that's another, yeah.
That's easiest.
That's really quite convenient. Just go to OOR.net and then click on test. But then you'll notice that that's just a regular page. If you go to test-00.or.net/accredits.
What is that then?
And I'll put that in the chat. So this is what I'm looking at now. If you go to the chat room, you'll see the link.
Credits. Oh.
Plural.
So this is taken from Keeper, basically. I was starting the process of trying to integrate it. And so I said, well, we needed a creditor. And so I created this page, simple page, to illustrate this process. And you'll see that there's a page there that actually lists all of the accreditors. So that's the accredits page. There's only one there now, but there could be multiple ones. And then you see there are links to show, update, and remove, which I renamed disaccredit. all of it, like I say, I took the scaffolding code, and then I proceeded to customize the page. I basically edited the page that it produced, each of the pages. So this is not what Scaffold produces. If you actually try Scaffold, it will give you a rather more generic-looking page. And another thing that's rather curious, it will just put all of these words right next to each other with no spaces between them. So it just concatenates everything.
Ken?
Yeah?
On poll stuff, you told me this last week, and I think I promptly forgot, that when you do Paul stuff, he creates some tables in the database?
It's one table. It creates this one table, and you're looking at the table right now when you look at accredits. That's one row in the table.
And what is the role of this table? You do Paul stuff, and you end up creating a table in the database. What is the role of that table?
The table simply stores what you see on the screen.
Oh, that's all?
That's all it's doing.
Okay.
It's not doing anything else.
Well, I'm trying to understand the coupling. Ray claims in the email he sent to us that the idea was to have everything, that is the UI part, decoupled from all the web services.
It is completely decoupled. You're basically creating a completely independent table, and you have services that you're creating that allow you to update that table. And that table and the rest of OR at the moment have nothing whatsoever to do with each other.
Okay, but this process of creating, I want to make sure I understand this. The process of creating the table, or not the process, but the table itself is maintaining the data that's presented on the web page or just the fields?
Oh, what you see on that page right now is exactly what's not in the table.
So the organization Northeastern University is a row, and with collaboration ontologies and all this other stuff?
That's one row in the table, right?
Okay.
What gets concatenated? Northeastern University, or you said something gets marked up?
If you actually use a credit, if you just use the scaffold script,
mm-hmm.
then it will give you a page that doesn't quite look like this. It will have all of these, all the strings here, mm-hmm. just simply concatenated again, you know, with one another.
Oh.
So it's a rather ugly page.
So organization, purpose, contact, status, show, update, and discredit would all be concatenated?
Yeah, it just concatenates them all together. It's, you know, like I say, it looks rather ugly. It doesn't say discredit. It would say delete.
Oh. Save space, though.
So what I had to do was go to that page, and I had to edit it to make it look nice.
Okay.
And that's what you're looking here is actually after I did the cleanup and everything.
Well, Ken, I guess I'm harping on this. Getting back to the table that's created for the data that shows up on this web page, how does that impinge on the architecture of Gatekeeper? Because I would think this is the data that Gatekeeper is going to maintain.
Well, that's the thing. We're now discussing how we could integrate this framework with the web service that is Keeper. So the idea is that I haven't done this yet, but instead of going to the database table that this creates, we would instead go to the web service that
right.
is maintaining its own database.
But this mechanism that Paul's using is part of the Ruby stuff. It's sort of pre-wrapped for you.
Yeah, this is all provided by Ruby on Rails. I mean, it's nothing that BioPortal provides.
Right. It's just a very
it's actually there thing. Already for Ruby on Rails.
Yeah.
Well,
before we get to that, because depending on how you want to deal with this. The way that the tabs and or not tabs are addressed may impact what needs to be done.
So yeah, that's the other thing. There's no tab for this page. I didn't do that last part.
Right. You said you had problems doing that?
Right. To accomplish the tabbing, in other words, to add another entry on the tab line on the top there, on that menu bar, requires that you do some photoshopping. It's not as bad as I thought. You basically have to create a new PNG file that is what it currently looks like is it has each of these tabs that you see up there. Browse, search, mapping, recommender projects.
Right.
All of those are, instead of next to each other, on top of each other. And for each one, there are two. One for the, you notice that when you put your, when you put the cursor, when you put your mouse over one of these, it changes from white to gray.
Right.
Yeah, so each, you actually have two images, one for the white and one for the gray.
That's a pretty...
They're not independent images. There's one big image with all of these things in it. It's called a sprite.
Oh, yak.
And what you have to tell the Ruby on Rails is where your new tab is located inside that sprite. So you have to put in the pixel address of the of the tab.
So again, this is just that's just an artifact of this Ruby construct.
I don't actually know if this has anything to do with Ruby.
Okay. Anyone else know?
So that part I can't verify as being a Ruby feature. In particular, the tabbing environments that are listed on that last slide, the two frameworks and then that other one that I found, don't
right.
seem to have anything about sprites in them.
No.
So none of them seem to have this feature, so I don't know where that comes from.
Well, certainly the complexity of putting the tabs up there would argue for having sort of invariant tabs, so people don't have to muck with that often. But on the other hand, maybe that whole mechanism needs to be replaced with something a little more flexible.
Yeah, that's the issue that I'm raising. I guess I originally raised it. But, so here we're faced with this kind of awkward thing. I mean, if I found it difficult, I'm sure that many other people would find it difficult as well.
Hey, Mike, have you tried tabs?
I did some other work, but kind of got blocked by the Photoshop stuff as well.
Oh.
Yeah, so you see it's...
I'm hoping to go back and revisit it.
It's not going to be... If we force all our users, you know, to get Photoshop, learn Photoshop, and... Or you don't have to get Photoshop. I guess you could get something else. GIMP.
I think
GIMP.
Yeah. GIMP, but still, you have to... It's a pretty... You have to spend time learning how to use GIMP. Okay.
Yeah.
And it just would be, it would make an awful lot of people who would otherwise be, willing to use and interested in using OOR somewhat unwilling to get, you know, to make that kind of investment. Since it really doesn't seem to have much to do with ontologies.
Well, you say that about software in general too, but.
Well,
yeah, I know.
Truth is that I think the scripts that produce the scaffold are pretty easy to use. I mean, you basically just type in the information and out comes your...
Yeah.
I was really impressed by how simple it is to use the scaffold. And then editing the page, that could be done by just... I could just make up new templates so that this page... that you see here would come up immediately rather than the rather ugly one that comes up by default.
Okay.
So that could be provided in whatever distribution we have. It would, again, make it, it would be really easy to set up, you know, these new pages with databases and everything, and I think people would find that a lot easier. Because it generates not just the page, but all the web services as well.
Are stuff for them?
And what?
It creates the stubs for the web services, or?
No, the web services are fully functional. The web services are the show, update, and disaccredit. Those.
Oh, well, okay.
I actually have a, I made up a little description of everything that's provided. I should probably have put it in the slides. But, I do have something to explain how that all works.
Well, let's get back to the main points. And here, Michael, I want to ask you a question, since some of the things that you have told us about Colore and the common logic go against some of our unfortunate assumptions that we've been running under.
I can stay for a couple more minutes. I think one of the things is the ability to decouple the front end from the back end.
Right.
I think that's kind of what the Brayman group showed with their OntoHub kind of endeavor. And I think like one thing that we could kind of, in the Colore we could move to would be to adopt, what Ken's presenting here as kind of the common front end.
Michael, in terms of Colore and the work you're doing, which would make more sense, to have a sort of a fixed set of tabs at the top of the page and then allow, for instance, Colore to put sub-tabs on their own page if that's necessary, or should we have this variable tabbing thing that occurs across all the pages?
I'd rather have the variable that occurred over all the pages. The idea being that, you know, there would be this OOR.net kind of interface that would be, you know, kind of semi-standardized among us all. So there's
right.
this common way of interacting with it. Now, a particular repository could have other, you know, kind of more repository-specific ways of doing navigation, but that would just be kind of another server that would be running that people could use alternatively. But the idea of having a common front end, you know, that Ken's presenting here and the kind of the web services that run underneath to kind of provide everything, I think is a great idea. And I think that's what I'm going to try to get try to find somebody here to kind of reproduce for me.
Okay, so if I understand you, you believe that there should be some common set of tabs across the top, but then for particular pages, they may have sub-tabs on their page that are relevant for them for what's needed there.
That would be a possibility, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Mike, one of the issues that came up is whether all of the if there's going to be invariant tabs across the top, whether they should be the same for all users or not. Any thoughts on that? Mike?
I'm thinking about it.
Ken and I already had a discussion about that, and I can come up with, you know, examples where both are valid.
Right.
Can you come up with the example of, I mean, two separate classes of users or two audiences that you're addressing?
Actually, that's exactly what happens in Keeper. You have accreditors, you have just regular users, and then you have the registrars. So you actually have, you know, it's something like five different classes of or roles for users. A given individual could have multiple roles. So then, you know, and the example I was showing there on that page was one particular role called the accreditor, who is kind of the singular entity that's responsible for determining who is allowed to be a registrar.
Now, already there's some discrimination going on because the administrator actually has to go to a different URL. And one of the design
this is
paradigms,
portal, right?
Correct.
You're talking about Iowa portal.
But even for OOR, isn't the I got to catch the spider. Isn't the administration page or access somewhere else on a different URL?
Yeah. It is. If you try to do administration, it redirects you to that other page.
Now, certainly one of the paradigms is to not show possible functionality to users that don't have that privilege. And, of course, the other is to show everything, just gray things out.
Does it do any graying out now, or does it just fails when you try to access the link?
Well, at this point, you know, the bioportal paradigm is to keep everything wide open. But of course, if you were to bring this inside a company or some other sort of situation, which we can all imagine, then certainly that would not work.
Right. But I mean, even now there's some differences for logged in versus not logged in. Right. So, for instance, to submit an anthropology, I think you have to be logged in.
Correct.
What it does now is when you try to do something that isn't that requires a login,
it simply
creates, you know, it asks you to log in.
Okay.
In fact, I think that's the case on that page. Let's see, if you request accreditation, I think.
Yes, it asks for account name and then a password.
Right. So I put that in that case. So if you want to create a new registrar, you have to log in. And then I haven't done this yet, but, you know, presumably it could then check to make sure that you are the accreditor.
Mm-hmm.
So, it doesn't really have a variation from page to page. The way it stands right now, every page pretty much looks the same. It doesn't have variability. It just has little checks to make sure that you're allowed to do what you're trying to do.
Yeah, the one really obnoxious thing is when you go to, if you want to submit a new ontology, for some reason it's on the browse page.
Yeah, submitting
there you
a new
also,
ontology would, should be the function of a person who is authorized.
Well, no, but in terms of the way it's located, you know, if I wanted to submit an ontology, I'm looking at the home page and see these things at the top, I say, where the heck is it? And I have to start searching through each one. But the submit new ontology also requires you to log in before you do anything.
Right, right. But, yeah, it is kind of curious in this setup that submit new ontology is a button on the browse page. It doesn't seem like the right place to be putting such a button.
Well, I can sort of see why they put it there. You know, you want to see if there's something there already before you put a new one in, but
yeah,
it's kind of
still kind
awkward.
Of, it would make more sense for that to be one of the tabs.
Yes.
It being such a fundamental operation.
Now, is there any consensus about whether there should be a finite fixed set of tabs across each of the pages that goes across the top row here? And then let each subpage do what they need to do in terms of having additional tabs or whatever?
Well, there are actually several things. Should we allow variability in the list of tabs at the top of the page? I mean, there could be a core and then additional ones, but every page would have at least the core.
Well, I'm sort of thinking as that core as the invariant across all the pages.
Yeah, yeah, but then, you see, it's actually quite easy, even in the current framework, to introduce new links on the page. That's kind of trivial.
Well, yeah, but the links may be hard to find. Yeah, I like these.
Right, I mean, they're not prominent the way these tabs are. You have to go
exactly
into the page and read through it and spot that particular link.
Though multiple tabs can be obnoxious, I do find it much easier to understand the functionality. And many of the, for instance, the bank pages that I go to have a bazillion subtabs. But at least I can see, well, here's the things I can do, and that's it. I don't have to go scrounging around too many other places.
Yeah,
that's why I specifically asked Michael. I guess he's had to drop off. Because Calori, I think, provides us with an example where you have to do lots of other things than we're used to doing with either RDF or OWL.
Right, right. So he has that issue, and then Keeper, of course, also has that issue. I mean, there are all these things that, you know, registrars and accreditors do that really have nothing to do with any of these other activities on, you know, on the OR site right now.
Right.
On the other hand, only a person with a particular with that particular role would ever be allowed to do some of these things. So it doesn't make sense, I would think, to have that up at the top for everybody.
Right.
It would make more sense if, you know, once you've logged in and it knows who you are, it knows what roles you have, and then it just puts up the appropriate tabs for, yeah, you'll hear all the things you can do.
Yeah, well, I guess, well, the first thing is, should there be a fixed set of tabs across the top of all pages? Or, as Ken pointed out, do we want to allow the ability to add additional tabs and maybe change the coloring or segregate them in some fashion to indicate, you know, there's the core set of things you can browse, you can search, or whatever, and then there are these additional things.
Yeah, well, Michael certainly argued for their variable tabs.
At the top, or on a page.
At the top, actually.
Michael may be gone now.
He is.
He's gone, but I think he made it clear he would like to have variability. And I think, you know, other individuals who are customizing OR would also like to have it be convenient to add these tabs. They are, after all, the most prominent links on the page.
Exactly, yeah.
It makes a difference to have them up there versus having them, you know, embedded in the page. And certainly it's
right.
Much better than having them embedded in another page. It's even
well, that depends.
Page.
As Michael pointed out, one of the benefits we hope to garner is that there is some commonality, depending on, you know, whether you're looking at RDF or OWL or Common Logic or something else, or variants of Common Logic for that matter.
I agree with that. I've seen examples of, kind of things that can be customized. They give them tremendous freedom in terms of customization, and as a result, every site looks so different from one another. It's hard to realize they are from the same source.
Yeah. Mike, you've worked with part of the Federation aspects of OR, haven't you? Or that you can?
I have, yeah.
So, Mike, in terms of Federation, if we're federating across multiple ORs, would there be an impact from the UI perspective of what shows up across the top, you know, in terms of these tabs or not tabs or variable tabs or what?
Well, I think most of the Federation setup is really in the admin interface rather than in the for end users. So I'm not sure I really would.
Well, how about this example? I'll cook it up real fast. If one site is running something that has variants of Common Logic and they've decided that they need some additional tabs across the top, but I'm accessing OOR from another site that doesn't even handle Common Logic. How is that dealt with in Federation? Or how might that be dealt with?
I think you get a very limited view of the first order logic ontologies.
Or
Federates.
Or when the onto IOP people comes online with their surface, then supposedly onto IOP can provide the translation surface.
To do what now, Peter?
I have
been following that, so.
So to translate between different languages.
Well, what if I don't want to translate? I just want to say I'm accessing an OOR repository that doesn't handle any Common Logic, and I go into, but it is federated with, say, another OOR site that does have Common Logic ontologies, and I go into, say, browse or search, and I'm searching on a category or a particular term or some domain specified somehow, and my search responds with saying, well, look, here's something in OWL, and here's something in CLIF, and here's something, another variant of Common Logic from these other sites. And then I want to access those things to understand them better. Now, I don't want to translate it necessarily into OWL or anything else. I just want to see what the heck that is. So
that's much simpler than translating, I guess.
Well, yeah, I didn't want to translate. I just want to see. But what I'm trying to get at is that scenario I just outlined, would that be impacted by our tabbing approach or not tabbing approach, or is that just a red herring?
I think they are totally independent.
I think it's orthogonal as well. Yeah.
Okay.
Good. No, it wouldn't be
effective. By the way, Maximo is online. Maximo, if you can hear us, we are also on a chat board. So if you look at 3AOS, purple number 3AOS, that's a chat room link. Maybe you can join us there too.
Okay, I'll go there as well. Thank you.
Maximo, there are also slides. Have you seen those?
No, not the slides. I'll look for them.
Is there a link to the slides?
Yes,
Peter?
There is. If you go to 3AQA, where it says Agenda and Proceedings.
Thank you.
Right below this slides. Or under 3AQN, there's also a small slides.
Perfect.
Okay, so should I make note that there's consensus that there will be some core set of OOR tabs across the top, but then other developers or instances can add additional tabs at the top that would occur across all pages. Have I got that right? I'll link to the chat box, actually.
Yes. I have a question. Is what kind of discipline do we have to keep to maintain the sort of architectural purpose that the BioPortal had in people had intended, which and I think they use this as a mechanism to add or remove functionalities.
So what is our ontolog licensing say?
What would I'm talking about BioPortal people.
Oh, I thought you meant about enforcement.
No, just the coding disciplines. Because supposedly one could add and remove tabs and sort of add and remove a whole swath of code from the surface, from the ontology repository. So I assume there will be some kind of discipline that needs to be kept to maintain that integrity. Is that a correct assumption?
I guess we hope everyone will be nice.
Well, there's
more than that, probably.
If you the way it works right now, I mean, you're going to get the code. I mean, you're adding an extension by adding new Ruby code.
Right. Well, unfortunately, does this become a legal issue?
No.
Are you allowed to use the OOR moniker if you are not conforming to whatever?
You're not allowed to use OOR if you're not conforming. But BioPortal actually runs exactly the same IPR policies as OOR now. They also changed from the Mozilla license to the simplified BSD license.
Yeah, I think we're safe on that.
So we are consistent. I mean, of course, when you're talking about another third party adding a tab, then I guess they will have to conform.
I haven't read the license, nor do I wish to. I'll trust you on that one, Peter.
I mean, we started from the same place. I mean, because the NCBO people actually were partners in our IPR policy discussion, and at the end of it, the recommendation were adopted by both OOR and by BioPortal. So we are aligned there.
Right. But what we would provide to people would be kind of we would provide a reference implementation of OR with instructions about how to extend it. If you install it in your own, in your own company, you can add new tabs and you can add new functionality. But hopefully you won't be changing the core functionality, although the fact is, since you have the code, in principle, you could go in and change anything you want.
Yeah, but again, if you're behind some firewall and you're not making that public, then that's okay, right?
Yeah, I mean, we don't care what they do. However, if you would then, there would have to be some standard for how you perform, for example, federation. You have to conform to appropriate protocols, right, Mike?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, but presumably that would just be web services, right?
Right. You're talking about for the Federation in particular.
Yeah, if a number of ORs are now federating with one another,
right?
It just means that they have they're providing a web service interface for each other to use.
Right.
The process of doing this. So it's
Okay.
That would all happen pretty much in the back end, and it would be administrative.
Okay, so let's see. We got some of the tab issues resolved. Now, let's see. We didn't, or we are not going to disallow the ability of contributors to add tabs to their own pages if needed, right?
So
nope.
The contributor of an ontology, you mean, or?
Well, the contributor of the new module. Yeah, of the new module or new functionality.
Well, the hope is that we would have, you know, like in SourceForge or something like that, a collection of contributed extensions.
Mm-hmm. Right. But
so
in terms of tabs, I'm sorry?
Individuals can contribute new extensions, and if we like them, we just put them on the page, and then everybody can use those extensions if they want.
Right. But in terms of the look and feel of the tabs, I believe I heard that developers or whomever, I guess developers, have the ability to add tabs to particular pages if they need to do so. That is, we're not forcing all of the possible placement of tabs to occur at the top.
So by tabs, I mean the tabs at the top.
Well, no. I'm specifically saying, well, we have tabs at the top, and as I put in the chat box there, that the consensus was that there's some core set of tabs that occur across all OOR instances, but then additional tabs could be added with some distinction across the top.
Again, that's added after the others. After
correct.
The
again, those additional ones, the non-core tabs, have to be distinguished as such in some fashion, whether it's color, whether there's a line, bar down the middle of the top thing, or whatever.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now what I'm saying is, so for instance, if you go to the credits page, perhaps Gatekeeper needs to have sub-tabs for their functionality on the credits page. Should that be allowed?
What do you mean by a sub-tab?
There could be, if I go to the credits page, let me go back to it for a second. Where is it? I lost.
On the BNC.
I can't
go
get it
to the chat. Go to the chat page and just click on the link there.
There it is. Thank you. So, for instance, maybe you want to have...
Well, you see, there are those links there. There's show update, disaccredit, and request accreditation.
Okay, well, maybe you want those to be separate tabs on your accredits page, but they're only relevant for the accredits page and therefore should not be put at the top.
So where do you put them?
Well, somewhere on that page for accredits. So
I'm not following you. They are on the page right now.
No, but
is that what you have in mind?
No. What if those were put up as tabs? So you have this column called show and update and discredit. And one possibility for a design of the UI is to make those sub-tabs on that accredits page. I'm not saying that's the best thing to do. I'm saying that's a possibility.
Yeah, I'm just not clear what it means to be a sub-tab in this case.
Well,
what does it look like?
They are separate pages. Just as tabs move you from page to page, the sub-tabs move you from a sub-page to another sub-page rather than just going through links. That's all. Making the links, if you like, as tabs on a particular page. Anyone want to help me here? Or am I that confused? I mean, this occurs...
You're thinking of tabs on a browser?
No, on the web page itself.
I believe Todd is talking about maybe another row of tabs below the first row, the top row. I mean, it's a UI design issue. I mean, it's fairly fine-grained now. I mean, is this the right time to discuss this?
Well, this has to do with the tab placement. And we one of the issues was whether the tab placement should be page-dependent. Or page
yeah, but, you're not, But I was just asking how what it looks like on the screen. Do you mean another row just below the grid row?
Yeah, but it would occur only on that web page or a web page. But yes.
Yeah. No, so it's the second row.
Correct.
Oh, okay. That's what I was trying to figure out. What you're getting at.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I didn't know what you meant by a sub-tab. And you mean a second row.
Correct. That they are coupled to a particular web page because they represent functionality provided by that higher level tab. So again, for instance, I'm looking at this a credits page. Perhaps there would be a second row of tabs that where one would say show, one would say update, one would say discredit, or something. In addition to the home subpage.
Right. Now the problem with what you're asking there, at least on this page, is that I am only showing one row here. The show update and discredit are for each row separate.
I know. I'm just saying that's a possible. I was trying to give it a simple example. I didn't succeed.
The one that's kind of universal is request accreditation. That would be that's not dependent on a particular row.
Okay, well, so then that could one way to put that up there is another sub tab, a second row tab.
Right now, it's just stuck at the bottom.
It's just a link, but I mean, one possible way to display that functionality is as a tab, in a second row tab that's only relevant or possible to get to through the accredits page in the first place.
Yeah,
now, that's one possible design. And what I was asking is whether we want to allow such a design capability or design paradigm to be employed.
Yeah, that's the question. Does anyone have any ideas about that?
I guess, first of all, is it easy to implement?
That's another problem. I mean, right now, basically what it has is what you are saying is sub-tabs. Those are at the bottom of the page. If you go to show, for example, you'll see edit and back is the two things you can do. If you go to update, you'll also see show and back.
Oh, right. Yeah, those are simple things. But, in terms of distinguishing large pieces of functionality, as we do with this top row of tabs, that may be a useful design feature on various particular pages, or
the way it's set up right now is to add those that kind of functionality would be really easy, but you'd put it at the bottom of the page, and it wouldn't be.
Well, again, I think that would confuse things. If it's really core functionality for that particular page, then it probably should occur at the top. And I believe I heard Michael suggest that sort of construct would be useful for the things they're doing with Colore. Did I misinterpret him? Which is a possibility.
Definitely he wants that.
Yeah, you probably didn't misinterpret him, but I have a strange feeling that it's not going to be easy to implement. I mean, what Ken has now is much, much easier. I may be wrong.
Right.
Yeah, just it having the sub-tabs at the bottom is really pretty easy. It would be really easy to put it at the top also. I mean, it's not a question of top or bottom. But, you see, the point is that they're links. They're just ordinary links here.
I can
put those at the top if you wanted. I could have had accreditation be right at the very top just before accredited registration authorities. And then if you go to show, it shows edit and back. I could have put that on the top. I have to put it on the bottom.
We don't have to answer that question right now. We need some more evidence to figure out what's the best thing to do.
Right. What would be difficult in the current setup would be to have a second row that kind of looks like the top row.
Well, it doesn't have to look like the top row.
It has things like edit and back on it.
Well, I think for edit, well, maybe edit, actually, but for back, that's sort of a simple-minded thing. Just a little arrow at the top there would be sufficient.
Right, right. The point is having a graphic for that at the top or anywhere, that is the tricky thing, because there just
really?
Isn't any nice way of doing that right now, because you have to use Photoshop.
To stick a little icon or some little image up there? They have all sorts of little GIFs for arrows all over the place. But, okay.
Maybe it could be done, yeah. It might be possible to do that, yeah. Hadn't thought of that, but...
We've got my son on the line. He could have helped us.
The UI person would help.
Say again?
It would help to have somebody who knows something more about UIs. And.
Well, that's what he gets paid to do, so...
Yeah. Maximo, do you have any thoughts about this for Keeper?
So I'm just catching up with all the discussion. One of the features of Keeper was it was very extensible in terms that the actual processes that governed the different states and different scenarios by which each submission went through. Was pretty flexible, and they were represented as XML files that represented the process. I'm not sure how that maps then to the UI. I think initially we envisioned the possibility of having the actual forms on the UI be dependent on the actual process, that the process could define the different forms and checks that the process undergoes, but I'm not sure if that's something at this stage, or maybe more like a future vision, or maybe not. That's just my thought. I think it's definitely integratable regarding hooking up a web services from Ruby and Rails to this web service and extended it accordingly.
So
actually, there are ways that you could do that. You can map an XML file to an HTML page pretty easily using basically style sheet type things.
Yes.
In fact, you've done that. You did that with the use cases.
Yes, exactly.
Right. But what I'm thinking is that the XML files that define your process could actually be mapped to pages. So instead of having a person go through this process of creating a new, going through the scaffolding approach, we can make it more dynamic and basically kind of scaffold dynamically and produce the page based on your XML file. So if you changed your process, it would change your UI as well.
Yeah, much like the workflow systems UI, the UIs for the typical workflow systems used in business, typically for business rules and stuff like that.
Right.
So basically the process actually, when you define the process, the workflow, you sort of define the forms that each individual actor will see at each specific step in the process. And depending on those actions triggering decisions by the workflow, the different forms are rendered. So, I think that was like the idea when we developed Keepers, at least the vision.
Right.
That one can render dynamic forms.
Exactly. It's just that the difficulty now is trying to, put that into this Ruby on Rails framework somehow. And it should be possible. I mean, Ruby on Rails is pretty flexible. So we should be able to render these XML files as pages like this. The one thing that, as you heard from the discussion, is that all of this could be easily automated, and you can map XML files to these pages, except for this problem of the tabs, because they involve doing Photoshopping. See what I mean? That's not something you could easily automate. So that's the thing that's kind of hung us up right now, is trying to kind of, it'd be nice to be able to just automatically generate this tab line, this menu bar.
Okay.
It should be possible to do something like that, but it would change the look of this a little bit.
By the way, I mean, what I call from the discussion so far is we really need a UI type of a person on the team. Either there is one already and we need to identify the person and maybe send a lot of the UI questions to him or her and get guidance from that person, or we should recruit some person onto the team. So, Todd, your son comes to mind.
I'll okay. speak with him.
Yes.
I don't know if he has time.
So is he sort of adept with Ruby on Rails as well?
I don't know if he's been using Ruby. I forget what he's been using. I'll ask him.
Yeah, without the right skill set, I mean, we're all guessing.
Oh. Yeah. Hello?
I can still hear you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I heard something from across the line. I didn't know if I got disconnected.
No, you didn't. What next?
Okay, well, I'll ask him, Peter.
Please.
Now, I put in the chat room, what I thought I heard as a consensus. Is there anything else we need to put down in terms of agreement? Nope.
Yeah.
Sorry, I dropped out for a moment there.
Oh, that was you.
You can. Okay. Ken, I just asked, is there anything else that we've agreed to today that we need to put in the chat box?
Huh? Other than that we need a UI guru?
Okay.
I can ask around if I can find somebody, but not sure who would be available around the college.
Oh.
Stand
on the street corner and well, Peter, you're out there in developer land. What if you stand on the street corner and trip somebody? Do you have a good chance you'll find someone with experience in UI or?
Not someone who would volunteer, not offhand at least.
Oh.
I can try.
Okay.
Yeah, we just have to ask around, see what we can find. Which groups are currently involved in? There were some groups that were interested in contributing to the OOR. Peter, maybe if we contact them and ask them if they would be interested in helping with the UI aspects.
I guess, first of all, the German people, the Bremen people comes to mind. And next in line would be those who have recognized themselves as part of the OOR.net network and OOR instance, namely the MMI people or the Oak Ridge people. I don't think Oak Ridge has the right UI expertise, because what they're running is still plain vanilla plain vanilla BioPortal. MMI has changed the look and feel of BioPortal quite drastically. So if they want to join more actively, that would be great.
So how about if we just post a
to
our on the mailing list and see if we get a response.
Absolutely. Yes, please. Maybe can you could do it?
Okay, so I'll post this will be on the OOR
forum.
OOR forum. All right, so I'll post that, see if we can get a response from anyone. But the only real agreement we came to is that it seems we do want core plus variable, and we're not precisely sure, what that exactly means, because the variability could depend on the role that you're playing. It could depend on the particular activity that you're performing at the time. So this is certainly true for Keeper.
Well, Ken, thanks for bringing up. I forgot about that. Did we want to address the issue of role-based visibility?
Role-based visibility may actually have more impact on what pages you can go to, rather than. Oh, I guess it would. Yeah. So the tab would determine which pages you even have the ability to go to. So it would change what tabs you see.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, so that would, so the variability would be repository variability, role variability, and particular page.
What do you mean? So, repository variability.
Different instances of OOR can customize it to their own needs. They might have some site-specific link that they want on every page.
Right.
Which would be very specific to them and wouldn't be appropriate for anybody else.
But how is that related to the role-based visibility? I mean, even if a site has, specific tabs that they are putting on their instance, if they're not employing, or if they are employing role-based visibility, it may or may not be available.
Oh, I was thinking of tabs that would be basically added to their core.
Right. But again,
rather than something that would vary from one role to another within their site.
Oh, well, in fact, even those additional core tabs, those add-on core tabs, may have some visibility aspect based on role. So, for instance, if we had a tab for administration, I would think that would be a role-based visibility, or maybe not. It could be.
Oh, well, let's see if we can get a good definition of what we mean by core. Core means that every page sees these, even if you're not necessarily allowed to do them.
Ah. But that, well, I think that would be based on the
page. Can you capture that onto the chat?
And this is what I'm suggesting as being the definition of core.
So functionality that's common to all users.
Role
independent functionality, shall we say. Something like that?
Role independent.
Yeah.
And to all pages, page independent. So the uniform interface, okay.
That distinguishes OOR. So role, page, and instance independent as well, possibly, maybe not.
Well, the situations that come to mind in terms of the role-based thing is if we can convince any of the federal agencies to make use of OOR, I'm fairly certain that their policies would require that functionality be role based. Just the visibility thereof, be role based.
Variable tabs. So variable tabs are role and page dependent.
Okay.
So you'll have these core tabs that you'd see on every page for every user, and then there would be the variable tabs that could vary with page and role. And there would be some sort of, you know, graphic indication of which is which. So
the question then becomes, what are those core tabs that are invariant, role-based invariants?
Right. What are the core? I mean, let's just see if we can choose them now. I mean, there shouldn't be too many. What we have right now are browse, search, mappings, recommender, and projects.
Right.
So which ones should we say are the core? Are those the core?
I guess your core functionality is to tie everything to your management module or to Keeper, if Keeper is that management workflow admin redirection whatever module. So that would be core. That sort of differentiates us between OOR and BioPortal as it is. Does it?
There is a role, the sort of bottom role of the user, just somebody who hasn't logged in, who would be able to see those public aspects of the site.
So certainly browsing, you'd want that to be a common capability.
So things like
right.
Browse would seem to be outside of any Keeper activity.
However,
it's not changing anything.
But the button for about submitting new ontology should probably be put off to a new tab.
Yeah. Yeah, it's easy enough to remove that button.
Putting it somewhere else is another question, right? Delete's easy, right?
It would be under the control of Keeper now.
Yeah.
Keeper has any updates you make to the site would have to go through Keeper.
So is search?
Or actually,
I'm sorry.
Well, that's the question. Are there some things that you could update on the site that you'd allow anyone to do?
No. In general, no.
I'm not sure. I mean, it's like recommender. If you want to just announce, well, by the way, I'm using this ontology and I'd like you to know about it.
But even in those situations, you want some attribution. You know, who recommended it? Who's sending out this spam, perhaps? And for that, they have to log in.
Right. Good point. But anyway, browse, what about search?
Yeah, that probably goes along with browse.
Okay. Mapping?
Yeah.
What is that?
Explore mappings between ontologies.
And that's a form of browsing, actually.
Yeah.
Is it you're just browsing the mappings?
Is that in the wrong place, or why is that a separate tab?
Well, browse, and in spite of the name, is really just a form of search for ontologies that are available.
Well,
search, it really seems to me that, oh no, sorry, search is term search.
Yeah, so that's a misnomer. We need to change that.
Yeah, search is term search, and browse is browse for an ontology. So there are two different levels.
Right.
Change
those names. Okay. So that's fine. The mappings one,
that
though.
That mappings is another form of browse.
Explore mappings. Yeah. Probably should be public. I mean, common.
Okay, and then recommender.
Again, I think that requires some gatekeeping. This one says receive recommendations on which ontology is most relevant for corpus. Get recommendations. Oh, okay, so this is not creating a recommendation, it's searching or retrieving recommendations? I'm just reading.
Yeah, it looks like it's a form of search, actually.
Yeah, I know, which is, again, the nomenclature is not very good.
Ontology recommender. Oh, interesting.
Has anyone ever tried this functionality?
No, but
I just tried it and it didn't do anything.
You don't have any ontology. Try it on BioPortal. I think you're right.
I tried to look up use case. I just put in a I asked for most relevant for a corpus.
It's not your recommendation. It's asking the repository to recommend what ontology would be relevant to your 50 word passage.
Right. So it's misnamed. It's absolutely misleading by the name.
That's natural language.
It's a kind of search for terms,
right?
Basically.
Well,
it's a kind of term search.
Well, no. Somewhere you can put in, you can vote on these ontologies, can't you, in BioPortal, in terms of their value?
Not quite yet.
I'm not sure. What we need to do is see what BioPortal does.
I think projects can indicate that they use things. I don't recall that there's actually a voting mechanism.
I suppose there's some way to...
You can also make notes, I think, on classes and perhaps on properties.
Then get the BioPortal wake up. Get recommendations. Huh?
I'm trying it now to see what it does.
Did you paste 50 words?
Insert sample keywords.
You can insert sample keywords, so you don't even have to type anything. And it doesn't get recommendations, and it's now thinking about it. Oh, and it comes back with the ones that I put in. If terms matched.
Are you on BioPortal, Ken, or the test OR?
I'm on BioPortal.
Yeah, do 50 words. I mean...
I just tried it with sample that gave me, and I put in two ontologies, and it came back with a number of terms that matched for each of these two ontologies. So one of them matched 9, and one of them matched 14. So it is a... It doesn't look different from a search.
Ontology recommender.
It's a search.
Yeah.
It's just telling you how many terms match in a particular ontology. Whereas, an ordinary search would be put in some terms and then see what ontologies match it. I don't know. It's basically a search.
Yeah.
And on BioPortal, they have Annotator.
Annotate text. Oh, okay.
Annotate text with terms from ontologies.
Right, that's the other way around.
Around what?
It's the opposite direction of recommender, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Hmm.
So annotation is you provide, let's say, a research paper, and then it starts
right.
annotating it with various ontologies.
Right. Well, I think that would be an add-on sort of feature. Could be very useful in certain situations. Like in BioPortal. Recommender just seems to be, as you said, kind of search thing, so I think that's allowed to be open.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what the annotator does.
Yeah, how does it spit it back?
Well, what I tried didn't actually match anything, but...
It cut and paste a biomedical paper, research paper, in there.
See what it does. Yeah.
And then it starts to do its magic, I think.
Maybe it does something like a semantic media wiki. Throws it back as XML or something.
I know I put a bunch of ontologies in for the sample text and then said get annotations that didn't find any.
No, don't put ontology. Put a research paper. I mean, 10-page paper.
No, I'm using the sample they gave.
Oh, they...
This is the one they use for showing what this page does.
All right.
And,
Melanoma? Oh, and it's spitting back a whole bunch of ontologies and the terms it matches. And it's just highlighting those things it found, it looks like.
I've got kind of, did it work for you?
Yeah, I clicked on it, it says insert sample text, and the text it put in says melanoma is a malignant tumor of...
Right.
Whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I just hit get annotations, and this huge long list came down. It
oh,
has
really?
A term, has an ontology, has a type, has a context, has a matched term, has a matched ontology. It's quite a long list, actually. And I can format the results as text, CSV, or XML. Annotator web service. I have to get going. Do we have?
I have to get going too. I'm not sure what this is useful for, but it's again a form of search.
The annotator, yeah. Well,
annotator is another search.
Resources. Yeah, it's certainly doing searching, but then it's doing much more.
What more?
Let's see, what if I get it as text?
It takes each word there and it looks for what ontologies match it, and it shows
right.
you which ones match it.
And now, though, I can produce a textual version that does what? I was expecting something other than what we just got here. Okay. Well, in any case, are we providing this annotating service in OOR?
Well, what I'm getting at is that they all seem to be a form of search. So it would be perfectly okay to include them in the core if that we felt that those were, you know, significant features.
No. I would differ there. Annotator provides a lot of extra capabilities and requires more resources to run. And different instances of OR may not want to provide that capability.
Okay. So that would be something optional.
I would think, yeah. Now, right now, BioPortal and or OR don't have the notion of a deployment configuration. Do we? Do they?
What do you mean by deployment configuration?
Well, for instance, if this annotation service Is that a core part of BioPortal?
I have a feeling they are not releasing the annotator functionality into their appliance.
Or it may just be lagging because they only do the appliance about every quarterly.
No, they have had the annotator for quite a while, since 2.5 or 2.0. I have a feeling they're not releasing it. That's one of the BioPortal differentiators.
Right.
I look at all our instances, I mean, they are not available.
We're not going to have that.
Station that with Natasha Noy before, and she did mention something like annotator is not packaged yet.
So they have a notion descriptor?
Anyway, the last tab that we have here is projects. Is that
right.
Core?
I'm not sure. And again, this is, they want to create, well, something that says create a new project, browse a project.
This kind of fits into the Keeper, because Keeper, you do have individual communities within you can have individual communities within the framework of a single instance.
And do they have the ability to control what is visible about their community or not? Okay, then that would suggest that this projects tab has to be some sort of constraint on it.
Well, the projects tab just shows you what projects there are.
But the projects belong to a particular community, and what the community displays is controlled by Keeper, right?
Right. The question is whether that community should even be visible.
Should it be possible
for people to know you exist.
Now, of course, under the browse, if you browse through an ontology, visibility, so you get to see the home page of the ontology, the documentation page, categories, groups, but you don't necessarily see who the owner of the ontology is. Is that under a home page, publication, documentation? Somehow the ownership of an ontology is made public, or at least parts of it, on this browse page. Is that correct?
The browse page shows a number of things. It shows visibility, right?
Right.
The last column is author, but those are not the authors.
Where does it say author?
The last column of the browse page?
Oh, I'm sorry. I went to a particular ontology browse page. Oh, yeah. Okay, there.
You see author.
Yeah, thank you.
If you actually look at the code, they're not showing you the author. They're showing you the contact.
Oh, okay.
That column header has to be fixed. I have to fix that. It should say contact, because it's definitely not the author.
Yeah.
I think we should have maybe more metadata displayed. Author, contact, steward.
Well, we should talk to our metadata expert, who's not here right now. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to drop off.
Right, we should end anyway. We are past.
Okay, I think we're past the. Well past. So let's adjourn the meeting. I think we really covered a lot of topics. Raised a lot of issues, but I think it's definitely going to have a really big impact on the OR. So thanks everybody for coming, and look forward to seeing you at the next meeting.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
Oh, just Ken. One question.
Yeah.
You mentioned a third link to resources about tapping. Is that worth sharing? If so, could you paste that to the chat as well?
Yeah, I'll see if I can find that. Right, it was one more tab section. I'll post it, okay?
Yeah, great. Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Bye.